Now will you turn with me, everyone, to the book of Proverbs. And in the 15th chapter of the book of Proverbs, verse 14, we read, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge." The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. When the International Council of Christian Churches was formed in Amsterdam in 1948, and we listed the various functions of the council, one of the functions was to encourage education through our churches and the establishment of educational institutions that would present the truth of God, and that education might again become the handmaiden of the church. Now, it is a fact of history in our own land that education, as it first developed in the United States, was private. When the Pilgrims and the Puritans came to the New World, they established their own schools. They were private. They were not controlled by the state or directed by the state or financed by the state. They were private. In fact, our own Princeton University up here, called the College of New Jersey, which is the oldest college in the state, was started by some Presbyterians who set up what we today would call an independent agency. It wasn't even under the control of the presbytery or the general synod of the, in fact, they didn't have any synod at that time. Just a group of Presbyterians got together and started a school, hired some teachers and began to teach some subjects so they could give their children what they wanted. Same thing is true down in the state of Delaware. The oldest school there, which is now the University of Delaware, was started as an independent private school. The Episcopalians had something to do with that, the Church of England. Harvard was started as a private school, and one individual gave a piece of land for Harvard to be established on. Yale was started as a private school. And all education, as it developed at the hands of these early pioneers, was very close to them. And if you remember the story of the little red schoolhouse, all the little red schoolhouse was a little house in the community where the people got together and had a board of directors, and they set up their schools, and Miss Smith or Miss Jones taught it. And that's the way we started. And that's the way it was marvelously blessed in this country. As a matter of fact, when we moved into the area where the communities took it over and we had our local school boards, and then we began to finance it by local taxation, then we moved on up, of course, to where we have state universities, which are financed by state funds out of the taxes of all the people. But this process, as it developed in this country, did not reach its zenith until just this century. Until at the present time, the majority of people who are educated in this land now do go to state institutions and to state universities and colleges. Previously, we had a larger number of people educated in private colleges and private schools. And the whole trend and the whole setting concerning education in the United States is now changing radically. And as it is changing radically, we find that in this great society that we hear so much about, that we moved in now for federal aid, which does bring federal influences and will ultimately bring federal control. Because King Solomon said in this blessed book of Proverbs, "A man's gift maketh room for him." And once he gives giving, there's room in there for him, and that's the way this thing has always worked in history, and it will work again today. But beloved, as I get into this question tonight, I want to say to you Christians, to you believers, that everything that we find here in this book of Proverbs, everything we find in the Bible, lays upon you a responsibility to be concerned about knowledge. A responsibility to be concerned about getting knowledge and the use of that knowledge and the presentation of that knowledge. And I want you to turn, if you will, please, to these passages in Proverbs. Will you turn, please, to the 14th chapter of the book of Proverbs? And here we find any number of references to this matter of wisdom and knowledge. But in verse 34 we read, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And as the people of a nation, we're to be interested in the things which pertain to righteousness. And righteousness is not disassociated with law, and law is not disassociated with knowledge. And we have the text which we've taken tonight, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge." And we turn down to verse 21, "Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly." A man who has knowledge and has understanding, he will walk uprightly. And then we move down to verse 32, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul." He that refuses to receive instruction despiseth his own soul. "But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom." We all know, of course, that Shelton College has a text from the Bible for our educational school here. And it's a very delightful one because it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." And we have these other great texts, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And we must have knowledge, we must have wisdom, and the Christian church and those who are members of the Christian church have always been the champions of education. We have always been that. And we always will be because of our desire to learn more about God, His creation, the wisdom and the knowledge which He's made available to us. But we find ourselves now as Christians, and we are speaking tonight from the viewpoint of a Christian, living in a state which is becoming more secular and more material. No longer can we have the Bible in the schools to be read in any form of devotion or prayer to be made to God. We were all shocked 2 weeks ago when in the state of Maryland, the state Supreme Court has now ruled that it's not necessary to require that a person believe in God before he can sit on a jury. And as a result, all jury cases in the state of Maryland have now been canceled and they're starting all over again. And Madeline Murray's case is now thrown out of court and she'll have to be re-indicted because you can't ask a man if he believes in God if he's going to sit on a jury in a court in the United States of America. And it's this breakdown of our educational and our social and our political institutions which is taking place right now because underneath it all, you have a breakdown of Christianity and a breakdown of this desire to have true knowledge and to have true wisdom in order that we might be free to serve and live and honor the Almighty God. Now that's the problem which we face. And as we face it here in the state of New Jersey, it has become particularly acute in that one of the professors in our state university, which is now financed by us, the taxpayers, has openly said that he is a Marxist and a socialist. Professor Genovese has become a very celebrated person, not only in the United States, but now I'm getting clippings from Europe where they're writing about him over there in Europe. And apparently the whole question of his presence on the state faculty here under tax and under tenure has given him a place of real significance in the liberal world. But beloved, it raises the most fundamental question concerning education that you and I as Christians and you and I as believers must face. If the state is going to take care of our education for us and make it increasingly impossible for private schools to operate, and if we're moving into an area here now where we have an entirely different concept of what education is as it's presented to us under our tax responsibilities, the people who should challenge it are those who still have some faith in God. We are the ones who should challenge it and challenge it directly and specifically. It's interesting to notice how the liberal and the leftist clergy of the state and the New Jersey Council of Churches, which is a part of the National Council of Churches, has remained absolutely silent in regard to this matter, at least up to the present time, so far as I know. Now, our own Bible Presbyterian General Synod is in session, and yesterday they adopted two resolutions dealing with this matter. And I think it should be refreshing and encouraging to Christians to know that there are at least some churches left, and that there is one denomination of Christians that's willing to speak on these matters and willing to bring these questions to the fore in the thinking of all of our people. Now, I want to read you the resolution adopted by our Synod on academic freedom and the Genovese case, because it's under the protection of what is alleged here to be academic freedom that our governor is presently defending the Genovese position, and it has become quite a difficult thing for him to maintain in the present political campaign in the state. But I'm not interested in it tonight from the standpoint of politics. I'm interested in it tonight from the standpoint of what the Bible teaches about our responsibility and about the nature of the kind of education that we should be willing to support as Christians in a free society. All right, here is the resolution. This Synod declares that the most fundamental questions of morality and freedom are involved in the Genovese case. Not only is it immoral for freedom-loving Americans to finance by their taxes Marxist and communist, but we should have political leaders so sensitive to the communist menace that they will insist that Marxists be not subsidized in the name of academic freedom. Academic freedom, the freedom for research and investigation, is no justification for individuals to destroy the very principles upon which the school, the state, and the country were founded. Academic freedom historically has always meant that schools of thought, religious organizations, and individuals were free to raise up institutions to propagate their position. Academic freedom does not mean that a Protestant college must pay the salary of an atheistic teacher, nor a Roman Catholic school must employ a life-termer in the penitentiary. The torturous reasoning of the leftists and the liberals and Governor Hughes has made them a shield, that is, made the colleges a shield for the communists. The common sense of liberty-loving, God-fearing Americans must now assert itself to remove from our schools the Marxist agitators who stimulate the student riots, teach-ins, and the burning of draft cards. Now that's a pronouncement, beloved, of the General Synod of our denomination. And it reflects a concept of education and a concept of freedom and a concept of morality which we have obtained from our glorious Christian faith. And as we give expression to it, it is these ideas that we would like to see embraced and enshrined in the hearts of the citizens of this country and of this state of ours. Now, may I speak about this matter of academic freedom, because it is an accusation that's hurled against those of us who believe something. Now, this resolution refers to academic freedom, and may I say that the gentleman who drafted this aspect of this resolution was none other than Dr. Alan A. McCrae, who's as fine an educator as we have and who has dealt with these academic questions for a great many years. But academic freedom is freedom to research, freedom to investigate, freedom to search out knowledge, freedom to get information. That's academic freedom. And every Christian is in favor of that. No Christian is afraid of knowledge. And no Christian is afraid of facts. One thing is certainly sure about the Christian is, since he believes that God made everything, and we're certainly persuaded that Christ was raised from the dead and that he created all things, the more you search and the more you find, the more you'll welcome it and the more you'll rejoice in our God who made it possible. And a Christian is in favor of this sort of academic freedom. He always has been, and in his institutions, he has encouraged it. And we encourage this kind of academic freedom in our colleges and in Shelton College. On the other hand, this freedom of research and this freedom of investigation does not reach the point where the person who has the freedom turns around and embraces some principles and an ideology which destroys the very freedom itself, and that's Marxism. And at this point, you have a confusion in the thinking of leaders in this state, and we don't question the sincerity or the genuineness or the patriotism of our governor or these men who are standing by him. But at this particular point, beloved, there is confusion. There is a blindness that for some reason or other has taken hold of the minds of these particular men and led them now to promote a concept of academic freedom which is contrary to that which we've always embraced and supported in our free institutions. Now, the second aspect of this academic freedom, which is so important, is that the freed exercise of religion, which the Constitution gives us, and then all these reserved rights which are left with the people under the 9th and 10th Amendments. The great area of freedom was left in our hands by the framers of the Constitution. And that's why this land has been such a blessed land of liberty. And that meant that back there in the earlier days when a group of men got together, they said, let's start a college and let's commit that school to the great Westminster Confession of Faith and Catechisms. And so they established their college and they called it a Presbyterian college. And this is why there were men who were Methodist, and they got together and they said, well, here, let's establish a college for the education of our young people, and let's call it the Wesley University or the John Wesley College or something else. And we'll teach the ideas that John Wesley proclaimed when he went up and down around across the country. And so the Methodists started their colleges and their schools. Nobody said they didn't have the right to do it. We've had the same thing happen here in our own state in recent years as we've seen the Roman Catholics grow in their parochial educational system, and they've developed their high schools, and they've had a perfect right to develop any kind of a school they wanted to, and then proceed to preach and to present their Roman Catholic dogma inside of their schools, which they are doing. And they have a right to do it under the Constitution of the United States, and none of us would deny that right or question that right. But that's academic freedom. That's the freedom for somebody to go up and raise up an academy and raise up an institution which will be free to go out and teach and proclaim these various ideas as they relate to God and man's responsibility to God. But what do we have now? We have an entirely different idea. Now we've got some of these accrediting agencies coming along with these ideas of academic freedom, and they're beginning to say to these denominational colleges, you don't have academic freedom. You Methodists are going to have to invite a priest in here from the Roman Catholic Church and let him teach in this thing if you want to have academic freedom. And there's going to come a day before very long when we get some of this legislation that solidifies the thinking that the governor now has, when the governor himself, who is a Catholic, is going to run into the fact that academic freedom is going to require that the Catholic schools bring in the atheist and let them preach their ideas in the Roman Catholic schools. And the governor of this state is walking down a road, so far as academic freedom is concerned, which will destroy every Roman Catholic church, every Roman Catholic school in this state, if the principles are consistently carried out. Now, I'm preaching in a Protestant pulpit tonight. I don't invite atheists into this pulpit. They're not welcome there. This is a Protestant pulpit. As a matter of fact, this is a Reformed pulpit. I'm a Presbyterian. This pulpit is committed to the system of doctrine. We discuss all manner of things in this pulpit, but we relate everything to this mighty word which we believe. And we have the freedom to raise up churches in this country, and you can't talk about religious freedom requiring me to bring an atheist into my pulpit and let him preach in the name of religious freedom. Religious freedom has meant the freedom of groups and churches to band together, draw up a creed, make a pronouncement, and go out and seek to win people in the support of these ideas and to bring men to a knowledge of Christ. That's freedom. Well, now this idea is completely vitiated by the governor of our state tonight. He has an entirely different idea of freedom from that which we have understood and which we have enjoyed in this country. Here's a state, our state, the state of New Jersey. Do you think for 1 minute it's the business of the people of the state of New Jersey to raise up an institution to pay for the education of their children and then finance a professor on the salary who's in favor of completely destroying our system of government, and he is a Marxist? That's not academic freedom. That's a license which brings a communist in, and we finance him as he misleads and as he, in his agitation, works for a change in our form of freedom and our system of society. Now that's what's happening to us. And you look at it and you say, why is it? What is it? What in the world is taking place that has brought us to this point? I can't explain it except to say that the people of this state are getting away from God and their responsibility to Him. Our responsibility to educate our children, whether it's through private institutions, and we're having to turn to private institutions now, and that's where many of us are going to turn as never before. Or whether we do it through state institutions where our taxes are involved, and where our taxes are involved, we have a say. We have an obligation. We have a responsibility. And I believe tonight that we've reached a day when two things have happened so far as the Christian church is concerned. On one side, we have our churches which are filled with a nice great company of the social elite, who are dressed well and come to church with their beautiful garments and their furs, and they listen to a paid choir and a preacher who's precise, and they go out from that church and spend the rest of the day doing as they everlastingly please. And we become lovers of pleasure, we become lovers of the things of this world, and a form has taken possession of us, and we've lost the life, we've lost the power, we've lost the understanding. And that's produced an indifference. That's produced a, well, who cares? We're getting along all right, as long as we got money in our pocket and a job to go to, and the politicians will give us that if we vote for them. And that's about as far as our allegiance to knowledge goes. On the other hand, we still have some churches like the Collingswood Church that are fundamental, that believe in education. And we've been trying to raise up institutions and carry on our work. And there's a wide range of what we call evangelicals across the land and around the world. And we're associated with them in our International Council of Christian Churches. But in this particular area, we are also sought with some very serious problems. And that is, people say, well, now the pastor's going to preach on Genovese tonight. I just don't think I want him to hear him preach the gospel. And you have a false understanding of the gospel and a false understanding of the Word of God. Do you know what the theme of our General Synod is this year down in Cape May? The whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God is for the whole man, and it's for the whole world to hear. And it's because we don't belong to this type of pious, superficial, pacifistic, fundamentalist. We belong to the company of God's people who read the book of Proverbs. We belong to the company of God's people who says all the knowledge that God has made available is for us to use and to have and to use for His glory. And we as fundamentalists, we as Protestants, we as those who believe in God and His glory have a responsibility for education in the state and in our private relationships. And we can't throw that responsibility away because we're fundamentalist and because we want somebody to preach the gospel. I'm preaching the gospel to you people tonight. I'm telling you that there's a living God, and that He's the source of all knowledge and all truth. And if you're going to understand that God and come to the knowledge of that God, the only way you can understand Him and the only way you can come to Him is first come to His Son, Jesus Christ, and find the life and the new birth and the light that there is in Christ. And then you can go out to praise the Lord. Now, it's very good in God's good providence. You know the Lord has ways of bringing these things out. And I'm sure God lays it upon my heart as a preacher of the Word of God. And I'm so thankful there's nobody to tell me what to preach or how to preach except the Lord. But I can stand here in this pulpit with this radio on tonight, and at least I can speak of these things. At least I can be a witness in behalf of these things. And the world may go its way and we'll get into materialism and atheism and move into the support of the Marxism. But at least it will be a Christian pulpit that speaks of these things. And you, dear saints, any of you who may be recoiling at the things that I'm saying to you fundamental people tonight, you ought to get down on your knees and ask God to forgive you for being lax and indifferent as the enemy moves along with his materialism and with his Marxism and with his atheism to confuse our country. Now the Vietnam situation is tied in. May I read you the resolution that our General Synod adopted on Vietnam yesterday? I think I'll put these on the whole network across the country because this states the case. Quote, "The clergy, professors, and students demonstrating against U.S. leadership in Vietnam are aiding the communist and betraying their country." You know, beloved, somewhere along the line, we ought to begin to think about the welfare of our country and the relationship of our country to these problems of freedom and genuine education. This synod declares that the communists know only one language, force. Appeasement strengthens their aggression. You know where you get that? Appeasement strengthens their aggression? From the blessed words of our Lord Jesus Christ and his statements concerning our relationship to evil. You resist the devil and he'll flee from you, but you appease him and he'll just occupy more of your territory. These are biblical principles as they relate to the struggle between light and darkness and good and evil and Christ and Satan. And we found these principles in the Word of God, and they are regnant. They are applicable. They are pertinent. They are matters that you must constantly consider in everything that you do as a believer in Christ. The communists have no word to pledge around the conference table. What is this Marxism? What is this Marxist-Leninism? Well, it goes back, of course, to Karl Marx and Nikolai Lenin and the famous Marxist Manifesto. But it's very simple. There is no God. There is no God. There's nothing beyond the grave, nothing, whatever. This is the end of everything. Man is just a gob of mud and dirt put together by a process of evolution. That's all. There is no morality. There is no standard of right and wrong. Whatever the communists say right is right. Whatever the Marxists say is wrong is wrong. They make their own right. They make their own wrong. That's it. Utterly nothing. Utterly nothing. That's all it is. Except it takes man and puts him in the hands of some tyrants who want to control everything and plan everything and direct everything, and they control the economy and they control the money and they control the education and they control what little church they permit to exist, and then of course they control the military and they control everything, and they give you exactly what you're to hear and what you're to believe and tell you exactly what they want you to accomplish. That's Marxism. Imagine for 1 minute sensible people in the United States of America, a governor in the United States of America, in any state, not just the state of New Jersey, saying that a man who believes that sort of idea, we should pay his salary and let him teach in the university of our state. have we gotten away from morality? Well, we've gotten a long ways away at the present time. And our problem is, how many Christians are left, how many people are really left who'll even understand what I'm talking about? Who'll even say that it amounts to anything, or it's relevant, or that it concerns us in any way, shape, or form? Well, these are the things that have made it increasingly more evident that all that you and I are going to have to do now is to turn around, and we're going to have to start our own schools where we can put God back in them, keep the Marxist out of them, and then develop some Christian colleges across the land and our own college here now in the state of New Jersey, to which parents can send their children in the confidence that when they get there, the students will be taught in good knowledge. Yes, they'll have a chance to study Marxism, but when they study it, they'll be told what's wrong with it from top to bottom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And a Christian delights to learn knowledge and to have knowledge. And he welcomes it. And then we read these blessed texts concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And ye are complete, and we are complete in him. The founders of Harvard University did it to train preachers so they could give some knowledge to the people. The founders of Princeton University were Presbyterians who did it to train some preachers so they could give some knowledge to the people. The founders of Yale University were Christians who wanted to train some preachers so they could give some knowledge to the people. All of this in the history of this country has come up out of the people who wanted knowledge, and they related that knowledge to God, and they wanted their preachers to be able to instruct the people from the pulpit in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. At least I can preach about it. I can tell you these things. May God bless you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there were enough people in our state to throw the communists out of our schools? Well, I think there are enough of them here to do it if we can get them straightened out on what's involved, so they'll understand that academic freedom does not mean paying the salary of a Marxist in our institutions. That's not academic freedom. That's something entirely different. But what besets us that academic freedom has become so twisted and so perverted and so turned around? The answer is that these liberals and leftists who are in the field of education have been preaching these false ideas so long, and they've become so prevalent in thinking in educational circles, that they all say, well, this is it, and we must be liberal, and we must accept all these things. Beloved, no one's liberal who lets the enemy, a Marxist, come in and destroy what we have. If Genovese idea were to prevail in the state of New Jersey tonight, our state university would be 100% Marxist, and they wouldn't even have one capitalist left. Just put it around the other way. If Genovese idea that the Marxists possess were to prevail in the state of New Jersey, we wouldn't even be having an election in November. We wouldn't need one. We'd just have one party. The communists are the party. That's it. If the ideas of this man in this state university were to prevail in the state of New Jersey, you wouldn't be sitting here tonight. They'd close our churches. That's what they do. That's what they've done in Russia. That's what they've done in all these communist countries. They'd either close them, or else they'd bring a fellow up here and put him in my place. They'd do something with me. They'd long since take care of me, because I'm anti-revolutionist. I'm a reactionary. I'd long since be disappeared. But they might have somebody in here, and there might be a few you weak people who would bow down and say, well, all right, we'll accept them, and we'll go along. There might be a few of you that would be just that wicked There might be a few of you. I'm really persuaded that some of you might do it. No, beloved, if Genevieve's idea were to prevail in the state of New Jersey, if his ideas were to prevail, Trenton wouldn't be the kind of a city it is tonight. It would be controlled with everything in it, controlled right over there in the state house by some commissar. Everything in the city of Camden tonight would be in the hands of the communists, the Marxists. The government takes over the control of everything, all property, all wealth, all means of production, all means of public transportation, all farms. The government takes over everything under Marxism. And to think you've got a governor in the state of New Jersey says pay his salary and let him teach. That's what we're facing. And what did it say about Dr. McIntyre? Well, of course, we all know Dr. McIntyre. He talks about these things once in a while. Just turn him off. Don't listen to him. But thank God there are thousands of you that are listening to us. And there are many, many thousands of people who are waking up now, and they're beginning to say, we cannot turn our country over to the Marxists and let the Marxists, like some Pied Pipers, lead our precious young people away in their thinking from these marvelous ideas of freedom. There's one other thought I want to give you, but I want to say to you, not only is the Marxist a bad, an evil propagandist for a system, but the people who will say, well, it's not important. I think maybe they're worse than the Marxist. Because there the great come and say, well, it's not very important. Not important to us. Let him go ahead. And it's this broad area of the neutralizers, this broad area of the indifference, it's that broad area in there right now that's causing us so much of our trouble. And that's where you come in. Now let's pray that in the good providence of God, our people across the country will realize these things. I'm very much interested in realizing that our school children don't know what Marxism is when you know it, when you hear it. You don't know what it is. You're not able to detect it when you hear it. And Mr. Miller, when I was out there in Seattle the other night, he brought me this pen, gave it to me. And I've carried it around with me because everybody wants to see it. And here's a little USSR pin. It's brass. It's about the size of a nickel. You can see it. I have it here. It's got USSR in red on it. And here's a little schoolgirl with a white dress on and black bonnet. The easel there and a brush, and she's painting. Nice, pretty little pin. You know what they did out there in Seattle, Washington last week or week before last? The communists had an art exhibit at Civic Center. And they put up their art, their big, beautiful art, all the little communist kids painting. And they had all their art around. And then they brought in all the school children by buses into the center. And they got out and they went in and they saw the beautiful art of the communist children. And then they showed them a beautiful film, and it was a film of how wonderful it was in Russia. Everything's lovely over there. And then after they got through showing them this marvelous film, they gave the little children some pins to wear in remembrance of this marvelous experience of getting acquainted with the children of Russia. They did it in our country. And it's nothing but just psychological warfare. Taking our little children. And I'm anxious now, beloved. I am anxious to find out where this is going on. And I'm anxious to see if we've got anything like this going on in other schools here in the state of New Jersey. And if they are going on, I am going to take it, and by the help of God, I'm going to speak about it. This sort of thing is brainwashing us. It's conditioning us. It's making us think that things are one way when they're not that way. And we just move along. And don't think it doesn't concern you, beloved. It concerns everything that you believe and everything that you love and everything that Jesus Christ has given you. And if the Marxist, if Genevieve had his way tonight, his philosophy, his thinking. He asked the Viet Coms, he said he would like to see a Viet Cong victory over there in Vietnam. If he were to have his way as a confirmed Marxist, as he says he is, beloved, you wouldn't even have the privilege of listening to me tonight. This radio wouldn't be privileged to carry this kind of an attack upon Marxism from a Christian pulpit. May God have mercy on you. May God have mercy on this country. May God have mercy on the people of this country. If they only realize what they're doing to themselves. Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, we thank Thee that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. And oh, wilt Thou bless the message we've brought tonight. May some lost sinner turn to Christ and be saved. This is our prayer. For Christ's sake, amen.